ABC Radio Australia.
Donald Trump says it's a scam to say that climate change is a threat to public health. So the US president has killed off a scientific finding that says it is. The so-called endangerment finding was the basis for nearly all climate laws in the US, and it underpinned federal limits on greenhouse gas emissions, determining that they posed a threat to public health and welfare. Its removal marks the most significant step yet in dismantling US climate regulations, with vehicle emission standards also scrapped. Lucy Cooper reports.
It's a move that's angered Pacific climate campaigners.
This is just the latest in a concerning trend from the current US administration that is trying to save an industry at the cost of human health and lives.
We're tired of receiving bad news, really, on climate. And the US, unfortunately, we're seeing that constantly, very frequently, under the current administration.
When US President Donald Trump walked into a press conference in the White House last week and told reporters, "This is a big one if you're into environment," he wasn't kidding.
We are officially terminating the so-called endangerment finding, a disastrous Obama-era policy that severely damaged the American auto industry and massively drove up prices for American consumers.
In the space of a few minutes, with the belief that climate change is a con job, the president announced to the world that his administration was revoking the basis for nearly all climate laws in the US.
Over the generations, fossil fuels have saved millions of lives and lifted billions of people out of poverty and all over the world. And you see it with the blackouts all over where they don't use it, where they went to wind. And people are dying because there was no air conditioning or there was no heating. And yet this radical rule became the legal foundation for the Green New Scam, one of the greatest scams in history.
Known as the endangerment finding, it was issued by the Environmental Protection Agency in 2009. It led to the determination that greenhouse gases warmed the earth and endangered the health and welfare of current and future generations. It's since served as the legal basis for federal climate regulations, setting limits on greenhouse gas emissions. Now, the EPA is rescinding the finding under the Trump administration. So what happens when one of the world's largest polluters gives up on reducing greenhouse gas emissions? Here's Christian Downey, professor in the School of Regulation and Global Governance at the Australian National University.
I don't think there's a president in US history that's really presented, you know, such a threat to global efforts to cut pollution as Trump has. But I think legal challenges will come thick and fast. We'll see environmental groups, we'll see Democratic-controlled states like California mount legal cases to challenge this repeal.
If litigation fails and the US doesn't cut pollution, Mr. Downey said, as the second largest emitter of greenhouse gases in the world, international climate goals are going to be further out of reach. For Jacinta Fa'amau, a campaigner for environmental organisation 350 Pacific, the announcement is a blow to Pacific communities.
For us in the Pacific, who contribute only around 0.02% of global carbon emissions, you know, Pacific countries, you know, have been carrying the weight of global climate leadership. You know, while the Trump administration can manipulate their, you know, scientific agencies, it can never suppress the truth that ordinary people in the Pacific, in the US and around the world are paying the real price for big oil profits and other fossil fuels. Lives are being lost, homes are being destroyed and costs are soaring.
Ms. Fa'amau said whilst on paper it seems to be a losing battle, she's holding out hope.
It can feel defeating and it is a huge delay on trying to build towards the future that we all want. But, you know, we have to keep in mind that this is a life and death situation, and also remind ourselves that there are incredible people and communities around the world who are still pushing through and battling the crisis regardless of these political situations.
The announcement has coincided with the news that the US is urging countries to pressure Vanuatu to withdraw a UN draft resolution supporting a landmark international Court of Justice ruling that that countries have a legal obligation to act on climate change. The campaign, which sparked the finding, was initiated by the group Pacific Island Students Fighting Climate Change. Vishal Prasad is its director.
It's very unfortunate and really a dangerous step taken by the US government at a time when the world needs to be ramping up climate action.
He said he was disappointed the US had decided to repeal the endangerment finding.
It is something that really puts the world, puts the US, the world, and particularly small island developing states in a lot of trouble, because we now have to, in our fight for climate justice, this does not help us. And so it really is unfortunate and very disappointing that the US has decided to do this counter to the science and the law.
Like Jacinta Fa'amau, Mr. Prasad holds out hope.
This is not just an issue for the Pacific. This is an issue for the whole world, and parts of the US are already seeing some of the very severe impacts of climate change. Communities are already witnessing this. So we think it's just a matter of time before the US realizes that it needs to act on climate change, and we're hoping that it's sooner rather than later.
Back in the US, Mr. Trump says the announcement is the single largest deregulatory action in American history, and he's hoping fossil fuel-based industries like America's petrol car manufacturers will flourish again.
We're repealing the ridiculous endangerment finding and terminating all additional green emission standards imposed unnecessarily on vehicle models and engines between 2012 and 2027 and beyond. This action will save American consumers trillions of dollars and will lower the average cost of a new vehicle by close to $3,000.
That report there from Lucy Cooper. Now, while it is a domestic US decision, as we've just heard, its ripple effects could be felt far beyond America's borders into the Pacific. And Dr. Wesley Morgan is a research associate with the University of New South Wales Institute for Climate Risk and Response, and he joins me this morning. Wesley, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Now, tell me, Wesley, how significant is this decision by the US to repeal this?
Oh, look, this is a significant decision because it will slow the shift away from fossil fuel technologies, which pollute the climate, and towards clean energy technology in the United States. And the US is the world's biggest emitter over time and is the second largest emitter today. So, you know, it's significant for global efforts to cut climate pollution. And that matters very much for Pacific Island countries. We heard in your intro there that, you know, climate change is a real threat to island nations. Pacific leaders have said that climate change is their single greatest security threat for decades. And so, you know, they're looking for wealthy countries, major polluters like the United States, to be limiting climate pollution. But unfortunately, the US President Donald Trump, he's a climate denier, right? So for a long time now, he's just said that climate change is a hoax and he has no faith in the science. And under Trump's leadership, the Republican Party in the United States has become ever more radicalized. So he's now implementing an ideological agenda that's really out of step with the science, it's out of step with international law, and it's out of step, actually, with global market trends. So, you know, the US has become an outlier. I mean, Trump has withdrawn the United States from the Paris Agreement, but not one country has followed that decision to leave the Paris Agreement. So the vast majority of countries, they do accept the science of climate change. They remain committed to cutting climate pollution and shifting to clean energy technologies. And so if you take just one example, China, which is the world's biggest polluter at the moment, China is going in the opposite direction to what Trump is. So China is now the world's largest manufacturer of clean energy technologies. So wind, solar, electric vehicles, batteries. These are the things that are going to power tomorrow's economy around the world. And China is now the world's biggest car maker and the world's biggest car exporter. And more than half of all new cars in China and more than half of all new cars in Europe, actually, are powered by batteries, not by oil. So, you know, Trump thinks he can hold back the tide when it comes to this global shift to clean energy. But really, all he will do is slow the shift in the United States And that will come at great economic costs to the United States.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. With this endangerment finding that came about in 2009, how did America respond to that over the past 16 years in how it tackled climate change?
Well, so the endangerment finding is really a statement of the science by the federal government, which, you know, under the Obama administration. It serves as the legal basis for US regulations to limit climate pollution from cars, from factories, from power plants. And so, you know, in 2009, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, reviewed the science and found that climate pollution, particularly greenhouse gases that come from burning coal, oil, and gas, is the chief cause of climate change and presents a danger to human health and welfare. And that's an established scientific fact. And that became the legal basis for regulating those emissions in order to avoid that damage and harm to human health and welfare. So subsequent regulations, such as those that limit pollution from the tailpipes of cars, for example, were based on that scientific finding. And Trump, in repealing it, he's effectively, you know, giving a license to pollute. And he thinks that's a good idea.
Yeah, so like you say, as it's been revoked, so is it all bets are off, as much pollution as possible, it's okay, factories can pollute, cars can pollute. Is that sort of where America's heading at the moment?
Well, yes, but there's a little bit of detail in the way. So this decision will be challenged in courts in the United States. So it'll be challenged by environmental groups, possibly by by Democrats in different states. The Democrat governor of California, Gavin Newsom, he is kind of tipped as a front runner for the next presidential race. He says that Donald Trump is a wholly owned subsidiary of the U.S. oil and gas industry, and that he wants to take the U.S. back to the 19th century. So while you have China making this big bet on the shift to electrification, you have Trump trying to reinvest in old technologies and fossil fuels. And Newsom, he really has a point. So Trump, in the lead up to his most recent presidential election, he hosted a whole host of U.S. oil executives at his at Mar-a-Lago, at his home, and he said to them, look, if you donate $1 billion to my presidential campaign, then I'll enact policies that help you. And at the moment, they're getting real value for money. So he doesn't believe in climate science, and he has said very openly that he's making these decisions on behalf of the vested interests of fossil fuel companies.
Now, you mentioned earlier that this all sits in a whole bunch of moves that the US has made under the Trump administration to strip away its climate obligations, like it stepped away from the Paris Treaty. But as you say, America is also out of step with the rest of the world. The rest of the world has not followed suit. So, from your perspective, how does this play out for the Pacific moving forward?
So for the Pacific, you know, the Pacific has long had been stuck with the science, right? So the Pacific has this leadership role in global efforts to tackle climate change because, as a block of countries, the Pacific has really just called on all countries to respect the science. That's why we have this global goal of limiting warming to 1.5 degrees above the long-term average. The Pacific played a crucial role securing the Paris Agreement. And then in the last couple of years, the Pacific has played a crucial role clarifying the international law obligations of all countries, right? So, you know, the Pacific Island students and then the country Vanuatu led a diplomatic campaign to have the legal obligations of countries clarified by the world's highest court. And last year, the International Court of Justice issued a ruling that found that all countries need to move away from fossil fuel consumption and fossil fuel production precisely because it pollutes the climate and damages the Earth's climate system. And so for the Pacific, you know, I think it's important not to lose hope with this decision, because Trump might be able to slow the clean energy transition in the United States for a little while, but the global trend, you know, the mega trend globally is bigger than the MAGA trend in the US. And globally, investment in clean energy technology overtook investment in fossil fuels a decade ago, and in the past year was about double investment in fossil fuels. So the Pacific it has a key role to play, continuing to fight for the science, continuing to call on countries to fulfill their legal obligations to deal with climate pollution. And, you know, it's really acting on behalf of all of us and future generations.
You mentioned there the International Court of Justice advisory finding on climate change that came about last year. Vanuatu is currently working at the UN General Assembly, on a draft resolution to have this accepted by the Assembly at the moment. The US has come out and pushed for countries not to support Vanuatu in this. And we heard yesterday on Pacific Beat from Vanuatu's climate envoy, Ralph Roggenvanu, who says a similar thing happened at the International Maritime Organization, where there was a push from the US not to move towards climate change efforts. And people did back down then, other countries did back down. It's happening again with this ICJ advisory. How could this all play out, and what does it signal about the global politics of climate accountability at the moment?
Yeah, look, there is a danger there that the United States is throwing its weight around to undermine multilateral cooperation. You know, it's shocking behaviour at the IMO to nix a levy on climate pollution associated with shipping. And on the ICJ, Vanuatu and other countries from around the world have proposed a UN General Assembly resolution that would welcome, you know, the clarification of legal obligations by the International Court of Justice and also strengthen climate action in line with those legal obligations. But Vanuatu's move has infuriated the Trump administration, who has written to all of their officials, you know, through a memo at the State Department, calling on their officials and envoys around the world to try and head this resolution off. But this is actually the latest chapter in quite a long fight, because Vanuatu was the first country in the world back in the early 90s to call for major polluters to pay for the loss and damage caused by their climate pollution. So Vanuatu was actually the first to put the phrase loss and damage on the table. And so the whole time that the world has been discussing what to do about climate change, Vanuatu has been pressing that. And the United States has been trying to head off any discussion about loss and damage to avoid any culpability for the damage caused by climate pollution. And the reason why is because the US has contributed more to climate change than any other country. So, you know, looking at the whole history of climate pollution. And this latest example is a continuation of that. And we shall see in coming weeks, you know, whether Vanuatu and other countries from around the world are able to find a UN General Assembly resolution that will be supported by a majority of countries. I think it's significant that small island states are upholding a rules-based global order, and really the country that was at the heart of that global order for much of the past 80 years since the Second World War is now really a danger to that order and is undermining international rules and norms. So all power to Vanuatu, really.
Well, Dr. Wesley Morgan, thank you so much for joining me this morning and talking through all of that.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Dr. Wesley Morgan, Research Associate with the University of New South Wales Institute for Climate Risk and Response.